on a guy who never misses his pitch as we look through the window of baseball for Truett and White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors, and that is Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. Bruce, how are you?
Good. How's it going, Marty?
Well, good. You know, this Justin Bour thing, you know, you look at the slugger kind of guys, you know, over the years, and this is one of those slugger kind of guys. And he made a play at first base. I don't know how he made it. He fell down and made a play. But home run after home run after home run, and he hit one today.
Yeah, he reminds me of Matt Adams on the Cardinals. Big slugging lefty, or Matt Stairs.
Yeah, Stairs, that's a good one. Yeah,
a guy who just goes up there, big, bulky left-hand hitter, dead pull, dangerous guy, don't throw it in the wheelhouse. And Kane did that yesterday to his great regret. But they were going to send him down yesterday, and then Michael Morse, who was going to come off the DL, his back flared up, so they got another game out of Bourne and really paid off. He's a guy they might want to keep around.
I thought the home runs were particularly dramatic as well. One was, of course, off Casilla, the game winner. And then the other one off Kane kind of sealed the deal and sealed his day yesterday.
Yeah, the guy's got a flair for the moment. I mean, he certainly didn't back off a pressure situation. It was a big moment for both guys, and Kane got a fastball a little too much of the plate. But yeah, I mean, he's 2 weeks ago you never heard of him, and now he's like, geez, this guy's one of the big power hitters in the league.
It's fun. It's fun. I love it. It's fun. You know, we had this discussion earlier, I think, with Eamon and I. But Bruce, every day a no hitter goes into the fourth or fifth or sixth inning, the perfect game thing. It's getting nuts. Strikeouts, low run games, and then you get Toronto scores 20 a game. But what a weird year this is for pitching.
Yeah, the pitching has been on the upswing. I mean, you know, you've got guys, the setup guy used to be, the fifth, sixth inning guy used to be sort of a marginal guy who was lucky to be on any roster. And now it's some guy who throws fourth pitches, you know, three different speeds and mixes it up. And he can come at you at 97, and then he'll throw you a cutter, a slider, a change. I mean, and these guys are everywhere now. It's also a big reason behind the injuries, because guys fall off the map just as quickly. But, you know, because it puts an awful lot of strain on the arm, throwing all these pitches, all these different grips, all these different speeds, as opposed to the old, you know, fastball, curveball, maybe changeup guys that we saw for decades on end. But it's pretty tough. And as we've said many times, the knack of the first pitch hit has really become in vogue, the first pitch swing, because the pitching is so good and so many of these guys are good that unless the guy's out there just really wild or nervous or his debut or something like that, you go after that first pitch with these guys because it might be the best one you see.
Yeah. In fact, I said it today with Gonzalez, 15 for 24 on the first pitch. And
How about
Strasburg for tomorrow? 14 for 29.
There you go. Yeah.
Strasburg.
You got to get these guys early. And I've said also, I've always felt that aggressive hitting is the way to go. I mean, we saw it, you know, you and I saw it for years, you know, years ago. The Ted Williams and Hank Aarons and Willie Mays, they weren't up there looking to work the count.
Yeah.
I mean, they weren't. They just weren't.
No, Zimmerman, 19 for 60 off of Zimmerman. These are top pitchers, so... But is there something wrong with the game, though? I mean, I know Rob Manfred and... At some point, I know Leonard Kopp had always said that you have to look over a certain period of time before you can make judgments, but can you get these many? I mean, you go out to the park, you want to see action. And that's why, you know, today a guy like Justin Bour, you know, power hitter. Giants have this Chris Shaw, who they got from Boston College, you know, leading home run hitter in college last year. Got hurt, and they still drafted him, and I think he's going to be a star. If you can hit today, you become a star.
Yeah, I mean, Aoki is a star, you know. I mean, Denard Span, you know, hitting over 300. If you hit over 300, there's not many of them.
No.
You know, you're going to get noticed. I mean, you know, Jose Iglesias, the Detroit shortstop, hitting over 300. And he's, you know, the way he feels, he's a full-fledged star now. But it has affected the batting averages and the really complete hitters. But the power, Lord knows, is still there. I mean, there's tons of young power hitters, you know, Bryant and Gallo and you know, the kid Sano from Minnesota just came up. They're all over the place. You know, Goldschmidt guys have been around a little longer. And you look at the home run leaders, there's tons of guys that are producing big power. So that element of the game hasn't gone away. You know, thank goodness. I mean, I don't think I've ever in my life thought there's something wrong with the game. You know, no matter, even in 68 when, like, 302 was leading the league. You know, I've never thought that because it tends to even itself out. But the hitters are going to have to make the kind of adjustments they're making now going at the first pitch because, you know, the pitchers, the amount of pitchers out there with all this stuff and all this changing speeds and all this success, that's not going to go away. I mean, who knows? There may be another pitch that will be invented before long. Yeah. Or maybe there'll be a guy who has all that and he throws a knuckler.
And he throws with both arms.
Yeah, right. Yeah, everything. He's got 13 different pitches you got to look at.
Well, that was, Matsuzak, Daisuke? Remember when he had the gyro something or other, and you never saw it.
It went gyro on him.
No, it didn't. God, what do you think of Kane yesterday? And I know you wrote about it today. What was your opinion?
Well, I mean, on the bright side, like Boshi said, it was effortless. He was loose and easy. The breaking pitches had a lot of bite on them. The slider was breaking pretty much down away to the right-hand hitters. The curveball would look good. The fastball, not so much. The fastball looked straight, and it looked hittable. So that's, you know, and we saw the results. I don't think anybody could argue against that. Now, whether, you know, being back in the rotation, he's going to add some velocity and movement to his fastball, I don't know. It's Matt Cain. It's possible. But it's also possible that this is the new Cain we're going to see. And Rich Aurelia made a good point on the post-game show saying he doesn't have that upstairs, you know, heat, big-time heat upstairs pitch that you can change the hitter's sight line. Everything's kind of coming in the same basic area. And you can't throw that high fastball unless you got an exceptional amount of velocity on it because guys will just kill it. And that was a pitch that he had, you know, for years that almost defined him. He doesn't seem to have that now. But, you know, we'll see. The fact that his breaking pitches are snapping off so well, at least it tells you that his arm feels good.
Yeah, I agree. Bruce Jenkins with us. He didn't have an out pitch. And,
yeah.
You know, he's got a command. You know, the out pitch he tried to throw, he'd miss by like 6 feet. And that's why he ended up walking, you know, four people.
Yeah.
But I think he's got to say, I'm not Matt Cain of 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Matt Cain of this year, and I got to learn how to pitch and keep the ball down. And that's, he's always been, I don't want to say stubborn about it, but he's always liked to pitch up. Well, he can't do that anymore. He's got to be a little bit different. But I think he's smart enough, and I think he's healthy enough. And, you know, you come back after a year and you walk into a major league game in July when the race is tightening up. It's hard. Now, Jose Fernandez did it. He's 22 and the guy throws 100. He can do it. But this guy is not Jose Fernandez.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it's going to take time. And I think they have to go with him because at least he looks healthy.
Yeah, I agree with all that. He's not going to be a disgrace, that's for sure. Matt Cain will never be a disgrace as long as his arm feels good. He'll have some rocky outings, but he'll have some real good ones, too. I think he'll have some outings where he'll get into the 6th and 7th, and he'll be up 3-1 or 3-2, and because he's just that good of a competitor. You know, he's probably as respected more so in that clubhouse than anyone, and has been since he broke in. He's just one of those guys. So it'll be interesting to see. You know, They're still looking for that number two guy behind Bumgarner, and he's not really showing up yet. But it's certainly not a disaster with the depth they have.
No, they got another month. But as I say, this is the month that separation happens, and especially after the All-Star break, you could be four back and nine back within a week, and all of a sudden your year looks different. So they've got to make sure that this rotation, which has been an issue of, you know what I say, they're capable of winning any game. But are they capable of going through 15 starts and getting a consistent game each game? And that's the problem for me.
Yeah, and, you know, they were right on the Dodgers' heels. Right now it's three games. I mean, one bad series in Washington and a good one for the Dodgers, and that lead could be growing and could be kind of scary. So this is a real big series right now. I mean, you can almost say that about every series with the Giants, the way they're going, but you know, Washington, the Braves beat Scherzer yesterday 2-1, but they look like the team that was picked to win it. I'm baffled by the fact they've got Dan Uggla playing second base yesterday. I mean, what are the odds of that? But you know, I mean, they got Harper and Strasburg, and they won't see Scherzer. But you know, they're a big time team, and it's a road series for the Giants, and you know, we'll see. They generally play real well on the road, so that'll be a particularly great series to watch.
Yeah, and Washington's not killing the ball either.
No,
you know, other than Harper, they've got a lot of injuries, and their bullpen is somewhat questionable. And the Giant bullpen kind of a little bit leaky right now, too. So, it's a good series. These are two teams that you expect will be playoff teams or could be playoff teams, and everybody picked Washington to win. So I can't wait to see it. It'll be a lot of fun. So this is good. All right. In Anaheim, the palace coup is over. And Mike Socha has won. Jerry DePoto, find another job. How crazy is that?
It's pretty interesting. I mean, it's pretty rare these days where the manager is the be-all and end-all. You know,
really?
He's like, he's above the general manager. How often does that happen? I mean, you know, we see the perfection of it here with Bochy and Sabian. There's so much respect, and I'm sure Bochy has made calls that he's adamant about, and Sabian's go, you know what, you're right on that. But it always comes down to Sabian and now Bobby Evans. And the good teams really have always been like that. And here, but especially now, the general manager is you know, he's the resident genius, so to speak, with all these young guys, you know, Daniels and Friedman and analytics guys. And here we have in Anaheim, DePoto was very tuned into analytics, which is the way the modern trend is going. And yet he lost that power struggle to an old-school guy, Socha. And I'd like to think, I mean, Artie Moreno, who knows what he's thinking, the owner of the team. The way that he banned Josh Hamilton, I thought was completely outlandish. But it could be that he's got his ear to the clubhouse, and that the players are relieved that this is over and Socha survived. Now, I don't know if that's true, but I think it might be. And meanwhile, DePoto's out of a job, and whoever comes in to run that, to be the general manager, has to wonder how much control he's really going to have.
Boy, Mike Socha, you know, he blocked the plate. You couldn't move him.
Yeah, he was blocking the GM.
He blocks the GM. He stands in that dugout. You can't move him. You can't move him. That's just Mike Socha. You're never going to move him. It's really pretty interesting. DePoto looked almost lost. He almost looked sheepish.
Yeah.
When he had to get out of there. Fintim, you want to say something there? Go ahead. No, Fintim is giving me hand signals. All right. How did you like the relief pitcher for the Marlins, the guy who jumps when he throws the ball?
I want him out of the game, Marty.
How does that happen?
That can't be possible. I mean, the first night, Kruko goes, how is that legal? You know, they're saying that, you know, the rule book says, obviously, you got to push off with your back foot off the pitcher's plate or the rubber, which he does. So his delivery is still technically in progress when he pulls this crap. But no. The fact is, he's taken a new step, he's hopping up, and now he's getting a new push that's a foot closer. And the guy's 6'5", throwing 97 or whatever. Get him out of the game, or you got to change the rule. I mean, this is going to open the door for other guys going, well, no, this is interesting. What can I do here to get the cheat and get closer to the plate? It's the most outlandish thing I've ever seen that was allowed. I can't believe that it's allowed.
Yeah, and they say, well, if you drag your foot, it's part of your delivery. And I guess Lincecum drags his foot a little bit. But this guy...
Well, a lot of guys do that, but they don't hop on a pogo stick.
Right. This guy drags his foot, then hops. And when he releases the ball, he's almost like at the end of the mound.
Yeah, with a fresh burst of momentum.
Really?
It's just sick.
Crazy. Crazy. No, that was good. I like that. That was good. All right. Bruce, hang on for a minute. We'll take a quick break. There's interesting news out of St. Louis with the Hackgate thing, where someone has gotten fired. But I want to talk about the circumstances, because maybe he has a defense to this thing. All right. We'll come back with Bruce right after this in the sports.
Oh, back to KNBR's Giants pregame. You're talking baseball with Marty Lurie on The Sports Leader.
All right, Bruce Jenkins joins us from the Chronicle. We look through the window of baseball. A couple of interesting things yesterday. Number one, Giants went out and spent $6 million plus a penalty to get Lucius Fox, 18 years old, and he looks like a young Jose Reyes.
Yeah, that was interesting. You know, I think the fans are probably thinking, you know, it's about time they made a big splash in the international market. This kid's a switch-hitting shortstop. He's very slight, but he's only, 18? And they say, you know, he's a middle infielder, so you're thinking, well, geez, I wish he would play a different position. We're set there for years, but they're saying he could easily blossom into an outfielder, and he's a well-regarded kid. He's not a complete mystery because he played some high school ball in Florida. So, you know, that was an interesting and long-awaited move, I think.
Yeah, and he's a top-of-the-order kind of player, not a lot of power, but, you know, he's 18 years old, and he weighs 160 pounds. And when he's 22, he's going to weigh 190, and, you know, he's going to be a force. So I love it. I've been waiting for that kind of signing, and they went out and did it. So I think it's terrific.
Absolutely. Yeah, that was – and, you know, we'll see how they proceed in the Cuban market. You know, now that's been a real mixed bag. You know, the Red Sox are having problems with Castillo, but Tomas for Arizona, who was kind of a pudgy-looking guy, there were a lot of doubts about him. He's just a good hitter, period. He's been hitting 300 the whole season. They moved him off third base into the outfield, and that's working real well. So it's a mixed bag, but it's something that I think the Sabian really wants to get involved with. And you know, now that he's doing a lot more scouting, which is his first love always, I think we'll see more of this.
So the Giants are making moves. Ryan Lawless up today. Ishikawa DFA'd. Josh Osich is up today. I don't know the corresponding move. He's a left-handed reliever. That, to me, more like Bobby Evans. Maybe he's churning it up. He's trying to get the right mix.
Well, yeah, I wish I could tell you something about these guys. I don't know one thing about them, but yeah. I think since, you know, they've had so much luck with Panic and Duffy and Susak, you know, and to a degree Strickland. I mean, you know, their faith in their farm system is really being revived, and the fans are right there with them, and it doesn't sound like, you know, a Panic move. I think the fans are anxious to see these kids, and that goes for Mac Williamson too, who's had a quick start in AAA. So I think it's great. I mean, not everybody's going to be a future star, but it doesn't hurt to look at them.
No, they need them. With all the injuries, they need them. And Osich out of Oregon State, Susak was there when he was there.
Yeah.
They called him up, and Andy Baggerly just tweeted, I don't know if you saw it, how'd you feel? He says, I felt so good I couldn't feel my legs. I felt like Lieutenant Dan. I like that.
Very good. He's got
barbecue shrimp, gumbo shrimp.
Yeah, I think
Chris cocktail.
From Chris Shaw's interview with you, he sounds like a bright guy too. So
I love him.
That's an important component. You don't want the guy to sound like he's lost or he's kind of a dummy or any of that stuff. And that all goes into the Giants scouting.
I like Shaw. I think he's going to be a star. He hit a home run already for Salem Kaiser.
Yeah.
He's a home run hitter. He's a college star, and he knows it. And I like it.
Exactly.
You know, I like it. Lawless, 37th round pick. Good for him. That's why he had a comment like that. Osich out of Oregon State. So we'll see what happens. All right, last thing. In the Cardinal hackgate and all that stuff with the Astros, the Cardinals fired their scouting director, which I thought was a fairly high-level kind of guy to get fired around this thing. And his reasoning, I guess, between the lines was, well, Lunau and the other guy took our stuff with him to Houston, and I want to see what he had.
He's trying to pin it on Houston.
Right.
You know, which is not a good look, especially if you're the Cardinals, you're the kingpin, they're Houston. Yeah, they're on the upswing, but they're not the Cardinals by any means. They never have been, really. And that seems like kind of a low blow, but I mean it's scary because I mean Correa was a very well regarded part of that organization. He's an academic, he's a modern type of thinker. You know, and all of a sudden, you know, they were hoping that the Cardinals would be confined to sort of, you know, low-level types, screwing around, people you never heard of. But all of a sudden, it's starting to sound a little bit like the real gate, like Watergate. Like, well, it was just a burglary, but wait a minute, there's Haldeman and Ehrlichman, and oh, my God, Mitchell, and we're going to the top. And so where does this end, you know?
With Maurice Stans, that's where it is. That's,
yeah.
Well, I like it. I like the defense. He said, look, I want to see what they took. Well, you just can't go in anyone else's house and see what it looks like. You know, there's laws against that.
Yeah.
But I could see what motivated them because, you know, these are very competitive people, and the guy leaves and he takes all the trade secrets. You know,
well,
like,
I mean, it's perfectly plausible to think that Lunau did a little borrowing. You know, he was such an integral part of the Cardinals. I mean, that shouldn't be terribly alarming. It's like, you know, when you break in and hack in and places you're not supposed to be, that's when you cross the line. And yeah, that should never happen. It really shouldn't. That's nobody should stoop that low.
That's baseball, as we like to say,
in the
2015 era. Hey, yeah. How's your weekend looking? I know. Thank you so much for coming on early tomorrow with us. Believe it or not, 6:30 tomorrow morning. We start at 6. How's your weekend looking?
Well, I went out and got some coffee. That'll be a starter for tomorrow. But It's looking good. You know, any time the Giants are on, that's a good day. We're going to have a big party tomorrow around the U.S. Women's World Cup game.
Oh, good.
And, you know, again, watching the Giants. Yeah, I'm even watching a little Copa America soccer. So yeah.
Now, you've been to Wimbledon, haven't you?
I did 19 Wimbledons for the
Carnival. Yeah, right. You love Wimbledon. So are you following this thing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Very interesting times. You know, now Nadal took a bad loss, and it looks like his career is in definite decline. And Serena pulled one out again today. It's getting real interesting. I always feel a little greatly nostalgic when Wimbledon comes around. But, you know, it's just not the kind of thing that newspapers budget for anymore unless you have, like, a guy from San Francisco ranked third in the world or something.
Yeah.
And I'm very grateful to have gone there so many times. But it's absolutely always one of the highlights, easily one of the highlights of things I've been able to do.
Yeah. Do you follow Howard Bryant?
Oh, yeah. Great writer.
Yeah, he's there. And
he's one of ESPN's main tennis guys now.
Yeah, he tweets 1,000 times a day.
I can't follow them. There's so many of them.
No, but, it's now 15:40. Now it's 34.
You know? What a backhand! That's it. Or just wow.
Yeah.
Kind of a tweet is that? People go, hey, wow, what?
This is what we do. All right. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for being on tomorrow morning too.
Talk to you early. Thanks, Marty.
Thanks, Bruce. All right, that's Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle. More coming up.